Angel fans, there's been a lot of conversations about how many games this team can win in 2024. We've seen discussions that they're going to lose 100 games, which is something they've never done. We've also seen discussions that they might be around the 68 to 70 win margin. So what do Locked On Everydayers think? And what do we think? And what do the projections say? It's time to get Locked On with Mike and John. And this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SiriusXM by searching Locked On Angels. And if you'd like to give back to the Super Halo Bros for all the Super Halo content, here's some things that you can do. Leave us a rate and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. And if you're not subscribed already, please subscribe and become a Locked On Everydayer. We're almost at 7,000 subscribers, so we need your help to get there. How about get there today? That'd be awesome. Whether you're watching or listening, come over to YouTube, leave a comment. It's one of the best ways to get in touch with us and be a part of the conversation. And today's show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. They make every moment more. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started.
Happy Friday to you, and thanks for being here for this episode of Locked On Angels, where it's your team every single day. You've got the Frisch Brothers here with you, a.k.a. the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Mike, it's the last episode of 2023. How about that? Can you believe it?
Let's get that terrible 2023 season out of the way. And let's get excited for 2024. No expectations. We're just going to move in. We're going to be excited about our young guys. Come on, let's start with the good vibes. Let's go.
There you go. Hey, just so everybody's up to speed here, we dropped episodes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, and we're going to do that again next week because of the New Year's holiday. So we'll have brand new episodes for you Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then after that week, we'll go back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we'll do that right up until spring training, where we'll go back to 5 days a week, Mike, and it's going to be a lot of fun here on Locked On Angels. Second note here is that Locked On Angels has been nominated by the Sports Podcast Awards for 2024. We're up for Best Baseball Podcast. If you want to help us out, give us a little late Christmas gift, late birthday gift, if you forgot my birthday. By the way, 35. I forgot to mention that when we came back. 35. So shout out to you guys who guessed that correctly. If you want to do that for us, that would be fantastic. The link to do that is in the episode description. You can click that and vote for us on today's show. The Zips projections are out, Mike. Zips! And they predict some good things and some bad things about the Halos. But first, what do our Locked On Everydayers predict about the Angels in 2024?
All right, so I saw this comment on YouTube about a week and a half ago from Locked On Everydayer at JD80026. They brought up a really great point about wins. Here's what they shared, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Subtract Ohtani's 10 war. Oh, 10 war.
Good grief, man.
I know.
And you and I have argued that he should get like one war a game that he wins, because he's the reason why every start that he wins should be a war. But you know, that's neither here nor there anymore, right?
Right. Now, let me say that again. Subtract Ohtani's 10 war. Oh, my heart broke. from this team, but also subtract, or actually maybe add, the negative 2 war from those terrible number 6 starters. So technically, there's an 8 war loss. Then the coaching staff, in their humble opinion, will be a 5 win increase due to better offense coordination and the development of young players. I like the optimism there. You've been listening, I can tell. they also said that I believe this team lost about 10 games due to choking. So I would add another maybe 5 wins to that. Looking at all the numbers, honestly, this team is at least the same team last year record-wise. Without adding anyone, I believe that they can be a 500 team by staying healthy. This is why the DH will be important, using it as a rotation for players like Trout, Rendon, and Adele. I also believe that to become a wild card team, they need to add maybe 3 to 4 players that can produce on average a 3 to 4 war. That could be a starting pitcher, maybe 2 bullpen guys or 2 starters and a bullpen guy, 1 or 2 bats, an outfielder, and maybe a DH. So, Johnny, with your no expectations approach to next season, how do you react to this Locked On Everydayers predictions for next season.
Shout out to JD for being the 80,026th JD, according to his handle there. So shout out to you, JD. I actually like the way he's breaking this down, Mike, in terms of, you know, what do players war add to the team? What do they subtract from the team? And I'm kind of the same mind. If they were just to stand pat and roll into the season with the team that they've currently constructed, I could see them being an 81 win team. And so that's why I think that they shouldn't stop with where they're at. I think you and I both agree that another starting pitcher would serve them well. Obviously, some bullpen help would also serve them well. And how they acquire that, whether it's free agency or through the trade market, which we kind of discussed on yesterday's show, it doesn't matter to me how you do it. Just do it, because you've got $70 million to spend before you hit the luxury tax. My hope is, and I shared this on Wednesday, is because the Angels haven't signed any free agents like a Jack Flaherty or anybody like that, I think that they're aiming a little bit higher. Yeah. And you know, you can call me delusional or call it copium or what have you, but it makes sense. Like they're trying to play in the bigger pool than the kiddie pool. And if they were going to play in the kiddie pool, they would have done so already. So that's not to say that they won't get rejected by the players that they're aiming for, because at the end of the day, it comes down to what the player wants to do with their career and where they want to be. And maybe Anaheim isn't that desirable right now, or maybe it's more desirable because you want to play for somebody like Ron Washington. That's another thing I'd add to JD's assessment here. I think Washington makes better decisions than Phil Nevin does.
Yep, sure.
And so I would add maybe like 3 more wins to that total, considering everything that JD had to share. Again, I love the breakdown, and I think it makes a lot of sense. But here's a couple of things that that I think are a bit silly. Like the people that say the team's going to lose 100 games, something they've never done.
Right.
It's virtually the same team as last year, minus Ohtani. And again, that 10 wins above replacement that Ohtani brought to the table is significant. But outside of Ohtani, they've only lost Renfro. They've only lost Gio Urshela. And those guys, I'm not going to miss them. I mean,
right.
I could see a world where Gio comes back and plays well. But outside of those two, I don't think that you're missing much from last season. And I think you also get addition by subtraction with some of the bullpen pieces that they had last season in Ryan Tepera and Aaron Loop kind of stinking it up for us last year. And now you have solid pieces that you can trust in Ben Joyce and Jose Soriano, who weren't there at the beginning of the season.
Right.
So again, I think it plays out fairly even. I think it could be a 500 team. I think they could be slightly better than a 500 team. But if they want to make the wild card, 84 wins like the Diamondbacks did isn't going to cut it. It's going to have to be close to 90 wins, which is something that you and I had been tooting the horn of last season. You know, getting 90 wins to get into the wild card, and that certainly would have done it for the Angels in the American League last season. But what do you think about all of this?
I love that these young guys have had a full year of experience, and they've had a full year of experience and having their hearts broken. They watched people celebrate. Yeah. They watched them win and celebrate.
Yeah.
They got hurt. Logan Ohapi cried when he was hurt. Like, I'm going to take that all day long. And to have him behind the plate and in the lineup and in that locker room and in the dugout for a full season and actually being engaged, not being somebody that's just an observer, although I'm sure that he was talking and asking questions. It sounds like he was. He had a great conversation with Mark Gubiza a couple days ago where he talked a lot about that. And then Zach Neto, Johnny, having Zach Neto in that lineup every single day. The thing that I'm really, really looking forward to is what Nolan Schanuel can do in this lineup for a full season. Because I know that we've talked about him, you know, 29 games in a row on base, and will other teams figure him out? John, I just love this guy because he was interviewed recently, and he said when he takes a strike or swings and misses in the cage, he takes himself out of the cage, like punishes himself, won't go. He'll take a timeout and have to like run laps or something like that. If he takes a ball that he thought was a ball but is a strike, he'll take himself out. And so that's why his eye is so good. I know his power is questionable and maybe a bit concerning, but to see him have a full season at the plate, Johnny, I would have expectations Sorry, we said no expectations, but I would say that I would have expectations that he would be somebody in the 290 to 300 batting range and maybe have an on-base percentage of around 400 at the top of this lineup. And that alone tells me that this team is going to be competitive. These guys are going to fight. And that's why I don't think that they're going to be this team that just completely falls off the cliff. They have a manager that's going to fight, and they have players that are going to fight. And I know that was irritating last year when we would hear like a Trent Rush or Roger Lodge say, well, I just love their fight. What I'm saying that's different from last year is that this team will fight competitively. Mm-hmm. It won't be like, well, we got to kind of, you know, scratch and claw to get back into this game. And well, we lost it, but we fought, right? It's going to be a team that will be there in the end, that will be there trying to win the game. I really see a big mindset shift with Ron Washington and with these young guys in charge, which is why I think that these numbers, according to JD, I would agree with him. I could see the Angels finishing at about 500. Obviously, we would want more and better, but with this team as is, that seems to be pretty reasonable.
I think it's reasonable too, and I don't think it's going to be the complete disaster that a lot of fans project it to be, especially, like you said, the 100 loss team or the 68 win team. I think they'll be at least what they were last season, if not better, and make it to 500. Mike, I want a locker room full of guys who hate losing. And it seems like these young guys really hate losing, and they're not going to put up with it, and they're not just going to sit back and collect their checks like some people on the team. I won't name names here, but everybody knows who I'm talking about.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I think I understand what you're saying with fight. Like fight is an ethereal, non-tangible sort of idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you look at these guys and they're young and this is what they're here for. They're here to play baseball and they're here to win baseball games and kick butt and chew bubble gum, and they're all out of bubble gum, right? In the words of Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper.
So I think that what you're trying to say here is that's the tangible attitude, at least, is that these guys are ready to fight. They're ready to go out there and play. I'm excited to watch it. And again, no expectations. If they are a disaster, I'm excited that these guys are going to get a full season of playing time to figure out what they're best at.
Hey, thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen every day. And we're just getting started on the show coming up. What are the Zips projections and what do they tell us about what we can expect from the Halo hitters and pitchers in 2024? We're going to share that with you and then give our responses coming up on Locked On Angels.
Hey, today's Locked On Angels is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Of course, they are the number one sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. And with the NFL season, you know, getting hot because we're getting close to the playoffs. Of course, there's college football going on as well. All the bowl games coming up. Mike, I got the Rose Bowl right here in Pasadena. I love it so much. So much fun.
You can smell it. You can see it. You can hear it, right?
Exactly.
It's just right around the corner.
Exactly. So right now, if you haven't done so already, now is the perfect time to join FanDuel because new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any $5 money line bet. With any winning $5 money line bet, that's $150 if your team wins. So go out there and pick a winning team and put $5 down on that money line. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is very easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and so much more. So all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and get involved in the NFL season, especially as the playoffs are coming down to the wire. Now's your chance to join FanDuel. Again, a $5 winning money line bet can net you a $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. So visit FanDuel.com/lockedon. Be a part of the NFL season. FanDuel is the official betting partner of the NFL.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, and this is Locked On Angels. Hey, everydayers, Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with local experts of Locked On, plus national shows covering every league. So go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and be the first person to watch Locked On Sports today. It's the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel.
Mike, we're talking about projections, not New Year's resolutions, but New Year's projections for the Angels. And the Zips, have you ever heard of Zips before this, Michael?
I have heard of Zips, but explain briefly what they try to do, Johnny.
Yeah, so for those who might be unfamiliar with Zips, of course, it's a tool that FanGraphs uses in conjunction with a lot of projection systems, and it takes into account the last 5 years or so of data and tries to predict what could happen with a specific player. Sometimes it works out great. Sometimes you look at it and you go, what are you talking about? How is that possible? For example, I was really upset with Mike Trout's projections last season, as were many Angel fans. And I think even this season, Mike, they don't look very good.
They don't, no.
And it's funny to me because it's not so much that they're taking into consideration like age and maybe stuff slowing down or what have you. It's more looking back at the last five seasons. And the problem with that is, there's been so many injuries in the last 3 years for Mike Trout that he hasn't been able to be Mike Trout on full display. So when we talk about projections, we want you to take these with a grain of salt, because it's a predictor in the sense that, yeah, you can imagine they'll be somewhere around here. However, it's not set in stone. It's not gold, right? And so I think that's an important note to make.
Yep.
Before we get into some of these projections, Mike, why don't you start us out with some good news? For the love of God, please give us some good news.
Here's the good news. Zips sees significant growth from Zach Neto, Nolan Schoenewell, and Logan Ohapi. So that's the good news, because they're going to have a full season. They're going to be there. The expectation is they'll be healthy, so they see a lot of significant growth from those guys. Second, Zips sees Trout and Rendon playing more games in 2024 than they have in years past. It doesn't mean that they're not going to get hurt or miss some time, but according to the numbers, Zips predicts that they'll both play in more than 100 games apiece, which hasn't happened since Rendon's been there.
Yeah.
And so that would be significant. I'm thinking back to the stats of Rendon, Otani, and Trout. Like, they were on the field together, what, 80 times in the years that they were together?
Yeah, it was 30% of the time or something.
It was
ridiculous. Yeah.
And then the third piece of good news is that Zips thinks that players like Michael Stefanik and Luis Rengifo will perform well in their roles if they're given 120-plus games to play in.
You mean, and consistent playing time will make
that,
them
Johnny?
Better players? How about that?
They really actually are looking at Stefanik as somebody who could be a key piece off the bench as well. So we're going to share the combined war that they're giving for each position. But Johnny, we got to talk, if we're going to talk good news, we got to talk bad news. So bring on some of that bad news.
All right, I'll be the negative one this time around. So Zip sees the loss of Otani as really significant, and there isn't really a replacement that will fill that role. I think that that's pretty obvious. You don't need a machine to predict that for you, Mike.
Yeah.
You just need a JD on YouTube to predict that for you and,
yes,
and nail it. Great job, JD. Zips doesn't see the depth as helpful to this team as of right now because it's paper thin. So once you get past some of the bench pieces and you start dipping into AAA and AA, there's a lot of question marks there. I know that Kyren Paris is a highly touted Angels prospect, but that's a prospect, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't really know what you're going to get with that. That's why signings like a Jake Marisnyk are necessary, because you need at least an MLB capable player to come up and fill in if there's an injury or if there's somewhere that they need to fill in, like Marisnyk in the outfield defensively. That's going to be the kind of move that you want to see.
Right.
So that's why these minor league moves have been so helpful, because the depth really is paper thin. These projections came out before some of the more recent moves of the minor league deals. So it doesn't give much confidence, but I think that we can be assured that the moves that they have made really help out their depth. Now, Zips only has a small sample size for some of the young players, so the projections don't really give us a clear picture of who these players can be outside of that. They're also not confident in the Angels' prospects outside of Kyren Paris, who they can project to actually be a 5-WAR player over the next 5 years. So that's a really interesting note as well. So then there's a really great graphic that came out from Zips that kind of sums this all up, Mike. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, let's read. It gives the Zips war for each position. So Johnny and I are going to go back and forth with each position. Let me start in left field, and Zips projects that Ward and Adele will be the primary players in left field, and their prediction is that they will have a combined 2.3 war in left field in 2024.
Yeah, and then Trout and Moniak running center field would bring a 4 war, and then if you bump over to right field, Moniak and Adele platooning out there would bring a 0.7 war. Again, that's wins above replacement, essentially how many wins they add to a team just by virtue of being there.
Now, here's the most interesting stat, Johnny. Zips predicts that Rendon and Renjifo will be the primary third baseman on this team. Both of them will switch off, probably Rendon playing a bit more. And they're predicting a 2.2 war combined at third base with both of those players. Again, they're also predicting that Rendon is going to play a whole lot more. But remember, it takes the last 5 years, and so it does include one or two of Rendon's really good years with the Nationals. So that's going to impact this projection. But they're saying that Rendon's going to be in there a whole lot more, and that he's going to produce, which is something that we can thank the good Lord for, because that hasn't happened in a whole long time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Zach Neto is actually going to add 3.1 wins above replacement at the shortstop position, and that's assuming he plays there full time. Then some combination of Renjifo, Drury, and Stefanik at second base would add about 1.8 worth of war. Then over at first base, they're projecting Nolan Schoenewell over there, perhaps Evan White. That's somebody that we can't forget about being in AAA there, Mike.
Yep.
And then Brandon Drury, the combination of them would add 1.8 to the team. And then finally, Ohapi and Theis behind the dish would be a combined 2.3 war. I think Ohapi is going to actually contribute to that more than the combined of Ohapi and Theis. I think Ohapi is going to add a lot behind the dish. I think they're assuming that Theis is going to drag that down. But again, Theis's last 5 years have not been great.
Right.
And like we talked about yesterday, there might be a world where he does improve this season. And then finally in the DH spot, they're assuming that Drury, Trout, Rendon, and Adele will combine for a 1.1 war there as well. So that's all the position players. And coming up on Locked On Angels, we're going to get into the projections for the pitchers, and we'll talk about all of that in just a minute.
Locked On Angels is brought to you by our friends at Logix Credit Union. They have the best lineup in LA right now. Forget Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. The best lineup is at Logix Credit Union, and it starts with the auto loans from Logix. They have a great lineup of really great people that will help you. And at the top of the lineup is the proven and dependable new and used vehicle loans. You can count on Logix to give you low rates and save you big time bucks. Next up, they have an exciting new rookie sensation in their electric vehicle loans with super low rates and flexible payment terms. And then rounding out their lineup, they've got their auto refinancing loans and lease buyout loans. With Logix, you can lower your monthly payments and get back to on the road to owning your car a whole lot faster. And trust me, no one can beat the lineup at Logix. So visit your local Logix branch. They're in the LA area, and they have amazing people and an amazing team that will help you and make sure that you get the loan that you need and pay that car off, or get that brand new car, or get that electric vehicle, whatever works best for you. You can even apply online in minutes at logixbanking.com/car. That's logixbanking.com/car.
Mike, it's time to begin projecting the pitchers and where Zips sees our starting rotation and bullpen this season. Now, Zips doesn't see the rotation as a serious problem, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's also not a very big strength of the Angels.
Right.
As well. I think that's a fair determination to say. They see Detmers, Sandoval, and Griffin Canning as the dependable top three and competent innings eaters, but Zips doesn't see much high end upside out of those three. I would disagree, and maybe this is just my fan guided wisdom here, but I think that there's a lot more upside to get out of Reed Detmers, and I think
agree.
We'll see that.
For sure.
Especially based on the 2022 that he had, and also the one that Patrick Sandoval had as well. Zips projects a better season coming from Tyler Anderson. I could see that happening as well, especially if he works with Barry Enright in not showing his changeup weapons too early in the count. I think he's got to use that to really get guys to swing over it and strike out and get back to what makes that changeup really work well. Then they really like Chase Silseth and think that he's going to grow this year. In fact, the numbers for the starting rotation break down like this. They're predicting a 2.6 WAR for Reed Detmers, a 2.9 WAR for Sandoval. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. 1.9 WAR for Anderson, 2.1 for Canning. Silseth would be a game and a half WAR. And then they have Rosenberg at 0.7 and Davis Daniel at 0.4. Obviously, they would be some starting pitching depth there.
Yeah. Let's talk about the bullpen for a moment. And Zips is not high on the bullpen, and we're not surprised as Angel fans. In fact, Zips says that it might be a bit of a disaster. Not a single player is projected to have an ERA on the good side of 4.
Really?
Yeah. Which, again, remember, it's looking at the last few years. Their most excitable piece in the bullpen is Jose Soriano and Ben Joyce, but they do have walk issues that they need to iron out. Everybody mm-hmm. else in this group is in their 30s, and so there's some concern there. So here's the list of people they have in the bullpen for the Angels in 2024. Esteves, Soriano, Garcia, Simber, Joyce, Hergett, Kolarik, Wance, Suarez, Ingram, Caceres, Daniel, and Bachman, mm-hmm. and they are predicting a combined WAR, all of those guys, 1.9. Does that feel low to you?
It feels low based on where these guys have been in the past, but that's the problem, I think, with Zips, Mike, and I even think looking back at stats is you can't predict the future. Like, the past is not a great predictor of the future because anything could happen. I mean, we can all expect Trout to have a great season and then his, you know, his foot falls off for some reason. Like, to me, I just think that if you go off the last 5 years and kind of make that a hard and fast rule for yourself, it doesn't really give you enough data and it doesn't give you enough factors. It's kind of like baseball trade values where, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't really take in the, I guess, the human element of all of this. Like, I think we discussed it on yesterday's show that Taylor Ward was valued really high on baseball trade values.
Over 20. Yeah.
Yeah. And to you and me who watch him every day and are fans of this team, we both went, really? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And I think the same can be said with projections, Mike.
Sure.
I think the same can be said because the human element there and the many, many factors of baseball are also in play.
Yeah. I look at this rotation or this bullpen right now and I'm looking at Bachman, and I'm looking at Joyce, and I'm looking at Davis Daniel. I'm even looking like somebody like Ingram and even Soriano. I know he had a full season last year. He had an injury in between. But those are young guys, John, and there's not much that you can predict off of what those young guys are doing. And so all you have is what you have from last season. Johnny, I would have expectations that Sam Bachman is going to be a huge piece.
I think so.
And I think that Ben Joyce as well. Ben Joyce is going to be somebody that the Angels can count on. And then if you have somebody like a Soriano at the tail end of this bullpen, I think that you could really be excited about who you have for the 7th, 8th, 9th, or the 6th, 7th, 8th, and maybe Esteves being the 9th. But I get what you're saying. Like, it's hard to predict that number. Maybe it's good. I know that looking at these names, we're like, I just don't know if they're going to be a really good team. However, it's young. They're really young.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it predicts that they're going to be not great because they're a bit older, but you look at some of these young pieces coming in, I think they could be surprising to us in 2024.
One thing you have to consider too, is that as relievers, they're not going to rack up a ton of WAR because their impact on the game is typically minimal. So for them to be under 2, I get it in one sense. On the other hand, I think it could be over 2 because it's sitting at 1.9 right now. Again, the relievers are not going to have these huge WAR numbers because they don't impact as many parts of the game as the regular starters or even the guys in the infield or at the plate as well.
Yeah, Zips, here's the good news. Zips projects that the Angels will be about a 500 team.
Hey, go JD!
which would be a significant step up from last season. They also believe that the ceiling of this group is low because they don't have the benefit of the floor being that high.
Hmm.
And unless they make some big moves, Zips predicts that they're not going to be in the wild card hunt. So your reaction to those three things that Zips predicts: 500 team, that the ceiling is low because the floor isn't high, and that they're not going to be close to the wild card.
I think the floor gets higher automatically because of this coaching staff. And I've said that
Agreed.
Before. Yeah. I think that what we saw in 2023 is not going to be who these guys are in 2024, especially out of the starting rotation, Mike. I think that we got a peak of it with Detmers and Sandoval in 2022. And if you have a competent coaching staff who doesn't need Mike Trout to tell them when they're tipping pitches, then you're going to go far with these young guys. And honestly, I think that's what's exciting about having guys like Ron Washington and Bo Porter and Barry Enright. Like, they want to be here because they want to sink their teeth into getting these young guys to be better than they've been in the past and move past the stigma that they're not going to be great in 2024.
I'm going to do the Trout, like, wait, what are you doing?
That's gonna be so great. That's gonna be great for our audio listeners.
Yeah. I was making the Trout face. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Remember that Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. It's Locked On Sports Today, and you can go to YouTube right now, subscribe to that first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel.
Hey, give us a follow at Locked On Angels on Twitter and at Super Halo Bros on Twitter and Instagram. Whether you're watching or listening, come on over to YouTube, find today's show, get in the comments, hit that like button while you're here. It's the best way you can reach us is in the comment section of our videos. We love interacting with you guys there. Also, while you're here, go into the episode description, hit that link, and give Locked On Angels your vote for best baseball podcast for the Sports Podcast Awards in 2024. Mike, when we come back on Wednesday, it's going to be a brand new year. What do we have on deck for Wednesday's show?
Well, since it's a brand new year and it's going to be a brand new team, let's talk about the pressure that was on this team last year versus maybe not on this team this year because Ohtani's not there. Is that a thing? Are they concerned about that? Did it impact last year and will it change this year? Let's discuss, Johnny, next Wednesday on Locked On Angels.
Looking forward to that conversation again. We'll be here next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We hope you guys have a great New Year's. Until then, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Thanks for being here with us, and we'll see you guys next year.